Tonight's shiur is in Parshas Bechukosai. Parshas starts off, Im Bechukosai Telechu, etc. Rashi says, what's this mean? Im Bechukosai Telechu says, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. That one has to be Amol in Torah, and if he does, deserves the various brachas that we find. The question is asked, why is Amol Torah called a chok? Chukosai, chok. What's the chok in Amol Torah? So one possibility is, unlike secular studies, the person wants to learn something, science, where he picks up a book, textbook, goes through it, learns it, goes through it a couple times, he understands it, and finished. Once you understand it, you understand it. There's nothing more. Whereas the Torah is not that way. We have an Indian called Hazara, that even if you understand it, you went through it, you read it, you got it, but the Indian to go over and over and over and over again. So that's the chok in the Amol Torah, going over and over and over, that's the chok. So we don't find that by secular studies. So Mice with the Rav Zalmala, who's the brother of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and he used to go through every halacha, he used to learn, he used to go over it like 300 times. And afterwards, again he would go over it. So someone asked him, what's going on? Well, you forgot already? You just went through this thing 300 times and you have to go through it again? You forgot? So he pointed out that this Chazal, we find a few different places that Sa'an Amora was learned by his Rebbe, and it says, it comments that after he learned a certain thing from his Rebbe, it says, Tana Arbin Zimnin, he learned it 40 times, V'damile Kamanda Manach Bekise. And it was like it was in his pocket. Even though he learned it 40 times, and he learned it 40 times, it was like it was in his pocket. He says, well, why does it say it was like it was in his pocket? Could have said it was like in his drawer, or in his... why dafka pocket? So he says, the Rem is the Gemara in Elul Metzias. I'm sure you've all learned. Right? It says, you find money on the street, why can you take it? It's you, Shalom Midas. And where it says, no, because a person constantly feels his pocket. Right, constantly, always, person feels my money there, my money there. Person feels his pocket constantly. So Mele, that's the idea. Even if a person learns something 40 times, it was like it's in his pocket. Just like something in your pocket, you have money, you're constantly feeling it. So too, even though you learned it 40 times, you have to keep feeling, keep going over and over and over again. It's not enough. That's the chokah of limud. So, a maisa brought down, which I when putting together this shiur, I read the Maisa somewhere. Just today, I saw the Maisa in a different sefer, brought down with the story a different way. Same story in a little different gears. So I guess I'll share with you what I just saw today in the sefer. That there was a man who lived in Yerushalayim, in the Mea Shearim area. And his parnasa was in selling paper, pencils, and things like that in Bishar Yafo. And he made a living. And any spare time he had was learning Torah. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he would give shiurim. He was a Talmud Chacham. So one day he had trouble with his eyes. His eyes were hurting him, whatever. And it got worse. He went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you have a serious problem with your eyes. And you're going to have an operation. And he said, the operation, I can't promise you. It can do the trick. You'll be okay. Or, Rahman al-Islam, you can go blind. And I can't promise. But you have to go to the operation. Because if you don't, then mehla, you're going to go blind. So he heard this. And he said himself, okay, fine, my business, won't be able to operate our business if I'm blind or whatever, but Torah, how am I going to learn Torah? So he left the doctor's office and he went to sit and learn the Beis Medrash. He spent 6 months in the Beis Medrash, and afterwards went to the doctor and says, okay, I'm ready for the operation. He had the operation, and I have two different girsas. One girsa was that it wasn't successful and he was blind. The other girsa is that it was successful. But afterwards, his relatives asked him, he said, what was this business like? You went to learn for 6 months and you went, what's going on? So he said, because, you know, I was thinking, what's going to be if I go blind? How am I going to learn? So I asked the doctor, how much time do I have until you have to do the operation? Like this, so it'll still be safe. And the doctor said, up till 6 months, you're still okay. After that, it's going to be too late. You have to do it within 6 months. So that's why I went to the Beis Medrash, and I learned Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Beitzah over and over and over again till I know I'm Baal Peh. So that I'll have at least two Masechtas Baal Peh that I'll be able to learn when I can't see, if I won't be able to see. So that's what he did. And he went over and over and over until he knew these Masechtas Baal Peh. And again, two different gears. It's either he was blind in and he had these two Masechtas and we went over and over and over. The other Girsa is that he didn't go blind, but still he used to go through these two Masechtas over and over and over again. Now this Yid, you can find his kever if you go to Har Menuchos. Okay? And they have here in the Sefer, they printed what's engraved in his on his the Matzeva there in Har Menuchos. And it says as follows: here lies Rabbi Eliezer Yosef, Rabbi Yitzhak Halevi Lederberg. What's his name? As it says, he was Mar Beitz Torah. Here Beitz Torah Barabim, Lamad Vechazar Baal Peh. He went over and over again, and he learned Baal Peh. Yoser mi arbas alafim pam mesechtos beis of Rosh Hashanah. More than 4,000 times, is what it says on his Matzeva, he went over more than 4,000 times mesechtos Rosh Hashanah and mesechtos Beitza. And it says, non lamed beit ayin, b'yom hey kaf gimel sivan, that's when he died, tafshin yud gimel, which is 1953. And then it says at the bottom of the Matzeva that Ubitzavotsokatav, and he wrote in his will, his tzava, Ulai kedai lachrot zot ala metzeva. He wrote this in his will that maybe it's kedai to write this on my monument. Kedeshulai gamakora yekabel alav lasos kacha. So that anytime a person will pass by and read this, they'll take it to heart and say, hey, maybe I should try to do such a thing. So, you know, to give chizik to people. That's what's written on his Matzeva. Some little maisalach, mashalim, etc., in regards to Amala Torah. Chaim Volozhin, the following mashal, he says, there was once a king that he asked his servant to count his money. He had a lot of money in his treasure house. He says, I want you to count the money. And I'll tell you what, all the money you count, you can keep. Good deal. And he said, and not only that, he says, I'll pay you for your time. So he says, that's what learning Torah is all about. Right? Every single word of Torah is a metziyat, it's a zechiyah. So, and it's yours, becomes you. Right? When you learn it and you internalize, the Torah becomes you. So every word is a zechiyah, becomes you. And not only that, that should be enough. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays us for a time. And we get schar and olam haba for it as well. So that's what Torah is all about. Rabbi Kiva Eiger, we have the following mashal. Once someone is walking in the midbar, and he sees a whole mound of jewels, right? Priceless jewels. So the guy says, I can't believe it. It's hefker, you know, in the middle of the midbar. And he says, I better get to it, you know. I get all these jewels. So he takes some jewels and puts it in his, you know, pocket of his jacket, fills up his pockets, and he goes, you know, there's plenty here left, so he starts putting it in his pants pockets, and he puts it in his shirt pocket, and he ran out of pockets, so he takes off his hat, he, you know, puts it in his hat, and he does whatever he, but then, after all, okay, he filled up all his pockets, all his hat, nothing left, so he left. So, he had mixed feelings. On the one hand, he was happy. Look at all these diamonds that I got, you know, all these jewels, you know. But he was a little sad, but look what I left behind. Right? There's all, what can I do? I have only so many pockets. So he's upset that he had to leave behind. So too, Sir Kimeger is with Torah. Right? Every word of Torah, we said, is a jewel. So a person should be happy. Wow, I know it's another word, another word, another mesechet. Wow, it's unbelievable. A person should be very happy. On the other hand, it's mixed feelings, because you say, well, look around, look at all these farms, look what I have yet to learn, and I haven't learned, and who knows if I'm going to learn, and you know, look what I'm leaving behind, what I haven't done yet. So mixed feelings. In fact, says Rabbi Akiva himself, that they say he had a big library. And they say that he didn't put a book in his library until he learned it first. So the big library he had, he learned everything. But still, even so, he used to every night, before he goes to sleep, he used to, you know, go into his library, look around, and he started to cry. And he asked Mechila from all the authors, all the Mechabrim of the Sfarim, and he says, please Moichel, I wasn't able to learn you today. You know, I couldn't learn everybody, all the Sfarim every day. So he used to cry that to the, and ask Mechila from the Mechabrim that he couldn't learn them that day, couldn't learn everything every day. Reminds me, I mentioned before about the union of Chazar. I just saw today also a mice I hadn't heard before, that Rav Moshe Feinstein used to walk home from, he used to daven in yeshiva, and he used to walk home after. So on his way home, people in the street used to come up to him and ask him shailas, you know, for everything, ask him shailas about anything and everything. So once when he was walking, there was a guy watching this, a yid. And you're seeing how, you know, Rav Moshe is answering this guy, boom, 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 answering everybody. So the guy made a comment. He said, well, what's going on over here? Answering off the cuff, boom, boom, asking. He says, that's not how your Paskin Shail is. That's how your Paskin Shail is, off the cuff like that? So Rav Moshe overheard the guy. So he turned around, and he went to the guy, and he shook his hand warmly, whatever, and he says, let me tell you something. He says, if you learn Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, you learn all the four parts of the Shulchan Aruch 375 times, he says, you can paskin like this. It's interesting, we say every morning the bracha on Birkas HaTorah, Shirk Shem Yisrael Tzavetz, Yivanu Lasach B'divrei Sorah. Fine, understand, you know, we make a bracha on all our mitzvahs. But then we add a tefillah. Barev na Hashem Elokeinu es divrei. We ask Hashem that the Torah should be sweet in our mouths, etc. So, Ratzadik Hakoyim Miluvlin asks, why this addition? We don't do that by other mitzvahs. You know, we don't say, okay, Hashem Shem Elokeinu, you know, we take a bracha on Al Netilas Lulav and say, oh, Hashem, make this mitzvah sweet for me. And no, we make the bracha on the mitzvah and do it. Finish. So why by Limud Torah? We, besides by making the bracha on the mitzvah, we ask Hashem, make it sweet. That's it. What? She says the Gevaltig Vort. Says that every time a person wants to do a mitzvah, there's always, of course, the Yetzer Hara that wants to stop a person. Right? Yetzer Hara, we have a Yetzer Hara. So how do we combat the Yetzer Hara? So we should not be able to do the mitzvah properly. So the Chazal tell us, Barati Yetzer Hara, Barati La Torah, Tavli. Right? Yes, I created the Yetzer Hara, but I created the antidote for the Torah. For the Yetzer Hara, what is that? The Torah. So, if a person learns Torah, that's you know, squelches the Yetzer Hara, so they can do the mitzvahs. So, Mele, when it comes to the mitzvahs, he doesn't have to make a special bracha. Why? Because he has the Torah, that'll kill the Yetzer Hara, and now he can do the mitzvahs. The problem is, what about the mitzvah of Limud Torah? Let's say he has a Yetzer Hara not to learn. Now, what is he going to do? Right? The Torah is the antidote for Yetzer Hara. But I have a Yetzer Hara not to learn. So, now what? So, Mele, that's why we have to say the special tefillah of Arev Nashem Lokeinu, which should be sweet or whatever, so I should be able to overcome, you know, because of the sweetness of the Torah that I should want to learn and can learn, and because I don't have the antidote for the Yetzer Hara against learning, because the learning is the antidote for the Yetzer Hara. So Maisa with there was a son-in-law who was promised by his father-in-law that he was going to support him in learning. So finally he started and he was learning full time. Still, one day his father-in-law said, okay, enough of this, you got to get a job, go out there and work. So the son-in-law says, what do you mean? He says, what do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. He says, the Farsha Mishnah Pirkei Avos Yafet Talmud Torah Im Derech Eretz. What's Derech Eretz? Working. So Torah, you have to tell them Torah with their hairs. You have to work also. You don't just learn. So you got to go out and get a job. Go. So he says, not fair. You promised me that you're going to support me. Back and forth. So he decided to take it to the Rav. Who is the Rav? Rav Yonas and Ibishitz. So there's Rav Yonas and Ibishitz. Here the both sides. So how did he paskin? He said to the father-in-law the following. He says, you're right. You're right. It's a Beferisha Mishnah. Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Supposed to work. He says, but let me tell you something. It'd be better that your son-in-law will learn and know the whole Torah, be baki in the kol Torah kula, but have one Mishnah that's the kasha on him, then instead go to work and, you know, make a parnasa and have and be kind that Mishnah, but have the whole Torah that's kasha on him. It's a story with Isser Zalman Meltzer, the Rosh Yeshiva in Slutsk. And there was an Avreich who was learning there. And besides learning, though, he was very active in helping the yeshiva. He was doing all kinds of things for the yeshiva on a daily basis. And so besides being a Talmud Chacham, he was very, you know, was very active. So one day he got from a nearby town, they asked him to be the Rav. They offered a job offer to be the Rav in this town. So he didn't know what to do. So he approached Rav Israel Zalman and he said, I have mixed feelings. That's not a Parnassa issue because Baruch Hashem, I'm fine with Parnassa. But on the one hand, you know, I enjoy working at the yeshiva and doing all these things with the yeshiva, you know, etc. But on the other hand, you know, if I take this job as a Rav, I'll be able to, you know, sit and learn, you know, at least 10 hours a day, you know, and involve in learning the whole day. So I don't know, what should I do? So Rav Israel Zalman says, it's a very serious question. And I don't feel I'd like to answer that. Go to the Chafetz Chaim, let him answer. So the Avreich goes to Radin, and it tells Chafetz Chaim his question. So the Chafetz Chaim, instead of answering straight out, he says, I want to ask you something. He says, yeah. He says, you have a shoemaker, make shoes and sell some. Yeah. He says, how much does a shoemaker sell his shoes for? So let's say in our terms, let's say he says $100. $100. So he says, okay. Now, factory, you know, the factory that produce shoes, how much do they sell the, you know, wholesale, how much do they sell the shoes for? So he said, oh, I don't know, let's say $40 a pair, you know, wholesale, you know. So he says, okay. Now, back to the shoemaker, he sells it for $100 a pair. How much profit does he make? He says, let's say 50%. So he makes $50 a pair of shoes. He says, okay. Now, the factory, they sell for $40 a pair of shoes, and how much profit do they make? Let's say also have $20 a pair of shoes. So Chafetz Chaim says, okay, I hear what you're saying. So you're saying the shoemaker makes profit $50 a pair of shoes, the factory $20 a pair of shoes. Right? Yeah. So Chafetz Chaim says, so I got a kasha, I don't understand. If that's the case, it should be that the shoemaker should be the rich guy, and the factory owner should be poor. You know, yachasi relative, right? Because he makes $50 a pair of shoes, the shoemaker in the factory only makes $20 a pair of shoes. So why is it that we find the factory owners are rich and the shoemaker is poor? He said, I don't understand. So the Rebbe says, Rebbe, very simple. I tell you, it's obvious. It's the factory owner works on volume. You know, yeah, okay, it's true, he only makes $20 a pair of shoes, but he produces every day hundreds of pair of shoes and sells them, and $20 a pair of shoes, but it adds up. The shoemaker, he makes, I don't know, a pair of shoes a day, if he's lucky or whatever, and sells them. So he makes $50, but the factory owner, you know, works on volume. Reminds you of that joke, that the old joke that the guy was, he started a little business, and he used to buy his article for whatever they say, you know, open up selling a safe, a certain svarim, right? So he used to buy a safe for $20 and sell it for $20. So someone asked him, I don't understand, how do you make a living? You know, you buy it for $20, sell it for $20, how do you make a living? He said, it's okay, I work on volume. Anyways, so the Chafetz Chaim says, same thing over here. He says, you want to know, okay, if you're sitting and learning 10 hours a day, he told the Avrei, that's wonderful, 10 hours of you know, schos, that's very good. He says, but if you're supporting this yeshiva, you're working for the yeshiva, helping the yeshiva, he said, make a cheshbon, right? Let's say there's 100 guys learning in the yeshiva every day, and each guy's learning 10 hours a day, okay? So that's 1,000 hours of Torah in the yeshiva a day. And let's say you help out, so you get 10% of that schluses goes to you because of what you help. 10%. So what's 10% of 1,000? 100. So you get 100 hours of learning a day. If you go and become a rabbi, you're learning 10 hours a day. What's more? 100 hours a day, 10 hours a day. What's greater? Work on volume. So he told him. Okay. Now let's go on a little bit to the parsha. It's a beautiful vort in the Yalkut HaGishuni. It says, beginning of the Seder, it says, Nasati Gishmechem B'itam. Hashem says, if I'm going to give you rains in their time. So Rashi says, what does that mean, reigns in their time? What's the time? Says Rashi, B'sha'a she'ein derech b'nei adam latzeis. It's the time when people don't usually go out. That's when I'm going to make it rain, which is when? Kegon b'leili shabbasos. Friday night. Friday night, everybody's home, and that's when I'm going to make it rain. So he asks, why is Rashi? Rashi usually likes to give us a pashup shot, you know. So why not learn more simple? What does it mean, I'm going to bring rains in their time? And their time means when it's a good time for the rains to be, you know, in the winter, not in the summer, whatever is a good time, that's all. Why Friday nights and people in their home, what's Rashi getting at? Says the following. It's based on the Gemara, famous Gemara in Maseches Tainis. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was once walking on the way, and it starts raining, it's pouring rain, it starts to get wet, and turns to Hashem, he says, Ribono Shel Olam. He says, Chanina Betzar. He says, V'chol Ha'olam, they're fine. Benachas. He says, you know, that's not fair. I'm getting rained on. I'm Betzar. And everybody else is, you know, in their house and they're Benachas. So Hashem heard his tefillah, stopped raining. He got home, went inside, closed the door. Now it can rain again, right? The world needs rain. So he turned to Hashem and said, Hashem, is this fair? Chanina b'nachas and kolam kula b'tzar. You know, they need the rain out there, and I'm fine, so not fair, I'm fine, so let it rain. Boom, started to rain. So based on the Gemara, he says the following. How is it that Rabbi Chanina, you know, was able to do this? Make it rain when it's good for him, not rain, not for him? The answer is, because that's how it works with tzaddikim, right? That the tzaddikim do the ratzon of Hashem. So as accordingly, Hashem, there's their ratzon. Mida keneged mida. They do whatever they can to makayim Hashem's ratzon. So Hashem does whatever he can to makayim their ratzon. Learn it from a pasuk, v'sigzar omer v'yakomlach. That Hashikosh Baruch Hu is whatever the tzaddik is goes, or Hashem is makayim. Mimele says, beautiful. It says, imachukosai teilechu, right? It's talking about a matzah when everybody, all of Klal Yisrael, are like Chanina Mendoza's. So we got a big problem now. If all the yidin, if everybody's at Chanina Gendosa, when is it going to rain? When this guy's outside and he says, hey, Hashem, I'm going to be sorry, I can't have it rain, you know, fine. And he goes inside, but another yid's outside. So again, Hashem can't make it. There's always somebody going to be outside and when other people are inside. And so when is Hashem going to make it rain? Problem. Mamela, says Rashi, therefore, when is Venasati Gishmechem Bitam? When is the right time for it to rain? Valele Shabbat says when everybody's inside. Because that's the only time that Hashem can make a rain. Because other times, there's always people inside, outside. Hashem has to mekayim their ratzon. They're all tzaddikim. Or Chanina Mendoza. Can't make it rain. People are outside. And put the mitzvah. So Mela has to be only a time when, bitam, when everybody's inside. When is that? Says Rashi. Belel Shabbos. The Torah says that, as we saw, that if we do Hashem's ratzon, that we receive Schar, Geshem, Shalom, Sati Shalom Ba'aretz, etc. So a famous question is going to ask in general was asked very much in this Sedra, because it talks about the reward, you know, if we do our Semes Ratzah, and they ask, how come the real reward isn't mentioned Beferish in the Torah? As hints to it. There's no, it's not mentioned Beferish in the Torah, the real, which is what? Olam Haba. It should have said, Ima kukosaita lechu v'nasati olam haba. I'm giving you olam haba. I'll give you to let you bask with ziva shechina. Tell us about olam haba. I mean, that's the real reward. Instead, it tells us about grain. And why not tell us the real reward? The Torah hints to it, but it doesn't mention anywhere with Farish. Why? So again, the Yalkut Gishuni brings the following mashal. He says, there was a businessman who was working many years, and he had business all over the world. And it got to the point where he got fed up, enough running around. He wants to start, you know, semi-retire. So he decided to hire two people to manage his business, right? One to run the store, the main store that's in town, and the other to go around all over the world, take care of all his businesses that are all over the world. Fine, so we hired these two guys, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven hired to stay in the store, Shimon to travel around. And he brought them in, hired them, and he says, okay, here's your salary, you know, I'm offering you. And he gave them their salary, same salary for both. Okay, they took the job. So Shimon then turned to Reuven, he said, yes, I don't understand, it's not really fair. I mean, here, you're sitting there, this whole year you're going to be sitting here in the store, you know, buying a nice comfortable chair, whatever, and while I'm running around all over the world, risking my life and going here and going there, whatever, and how can we get that? How come we're getting the same salary? He says, I thought this boss was supposed to be a fair guy, I heard. You know, kind of, it's not fair. It's a, okay, he has problems, but, you know, he wanted the job, so. So sure enough, yeah, rough. That year, running this country, ever there, and all kinds of dangerous, you know, situations, etc. Finally, after the year was up, they were both asked to report to the boss, and he says, "Okay, and I want to, you know, pay you your salaries." So he gives Reuven his salary, you know, that they promised, and he gives Shimon the same salary, you know, that he promised, and he gave it to Shimon also. But then he said to Shimon, "Can I see your ledger? You know, where you wrote down what you did and where you went and all the things." So he pulls it out and he shows it. So the boss is going through it and goes, wow, I'm really impressed. Your mom is like, risked your life for the business and you're traveling here and traveling there and did this and did that. He says, so he takes out his check and he writes, gives him a big, big, nice fat bonus. So the guy's like, oh, you know, Baruch Hashem, I see this guy, he's a fair guy after all. So he got a nice bonus, now he's very happy. But fine, so now they went on, continuing for a second year of work. So Shimon started thinking to himself. He goes, wow, you know, look what I got for what I, you know, because what I wrote in my ledger and everything. You know what? This year, I'm going to even be moser nefesh even more, right? And I'm going to make sure to write down in my ledger every little thing I did. Before I wrote down general, now I'm going to write everything. So when he sees when I'm going to go through this year, I'm going to get a triple bonus than what I got last year. So that's what he did. He really worked like crazy on his moser nefesh and this and that, much more than he did the first year. And he wrote every little detail down. Sure enough, the boss calls him in and after the end of the second year, gives the, you know, Reuven his payment, gives Shimon his salary, and he says, Shimon, can I see your ledger? So Shimon's like, sure, boss. Hands him the ledger, and the boss is looking through it, and he's like, okay. And he takes out his checkbook and he writes, gives him exactly the same bonus as he gave last year. So so Shimon says, I don't understand. He says, what's wrong? What's wrong with the bonus? He says, no, it's a nice bonus, but I thought for sure I'd get a triple, quadruple bonus than I got last year. Because I was most or never much more than I was even last year. How can you be giving me the same amount, same bonus? So he says, there's a big difference. He said, last year, when you took the job and you went, you didn't know you were going to get a bonus. Right? You thought that this was your salary and that's that. And you were, therefore, every time you were Moser Nefesh, it was very hard. Because you thought you weren't getting any more than your friend Reuven is sitting in the store, and yet you still were Moser Nefesh, and that was very hard for you to do. So that's why I gave you a nice bonus. But this year, you knew you were going to get, you assumed, I gave you a bonus last year, no reason why I'm getting into the business. So therefore, every time you wanted to do something, and it was hard, but you said, but it's worth it, because I'm going to get a bonus. And Mele, it made it not so hard anymore. Ah, so Mele says, Yom Kippur Shuni, same thing over here. Why does the Torah not mention the reward? He says, because if the Torah would mention the reward, so then it would make it so much easier. Hashem wants us to be Moser Nefesh in order to give us a lot of reward. But if we knew what the reward is going to be, it makes it so much easier. Oh, I get all this, so okay, Mele, it's not so hard to do this and this, look what I'm getting. But if Hashem hides the reward and you do it anyways, not knowing that you're going to get the reward, the reward is going to be so much greater. So end off one last little vort. The Tochacha says that some of fortune bring down that all the Tochacha, all the rebuke that we find the Klalas in the future, Bezvat Hashem, are going to revert to brachas. These things which are Klalas are going to turn into brachas. So and then they go through the different Klalas, what the bracha is going to be, how it's going to turn around to be a bracha. So one of them is v'chaltem besar b'nechem. One of the clauses is that then we're going to eat the flesh of your children. One of the clauses. So they ask, well, how is that going to turn around for the good? You know, what then? The kids are going to eat the parents. I mean, what's the opposite? You know. So they say no. He says that unfortunately, there's certain homes. There's a problem, right? The kids, go off to derech or whatever, and the parents, they can't eat in their kids' home. Right, the one they have to use, throwaway dishes, and they can't eat cooked food because of that. Or they have to eat cold food or whatever. They can't. Why? Because they're never. The kids aren't keeping the Torah. So what's the bracha? The bracha will be that in the future, v'chaltem besar b'nechem, you'll be able to eat the meat of your children. meaning the basar, as in meat, not flesh, right? You'd be able to eat. Now, you can't eat the meat of your children. But in the future, v'chaltem basar b'neichem, you're going to be able to eat the flesh, the meat of your children. You're able to eat in their homes, because they're also, everybody's going to, throughout the Shem, keep the Torah. So we should that all the klalas should, in fact, turn into many, many brachas, and we should be zoicha to the ikar bracha of the gula shleima, imhera v'yameinu, amen.